What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another podcast. Today is a special one. We got my brother Noah Shinaki with me. Today we're going to be talking about leadership, things going on in our lives, and a few things happening behind the scenes. Really quick, before we dive in any deeper, go ahead and hit the subscribe button, download this podcast. It helps me out a ton into reaching as many people as possible. But with that being said, let's get into it. All right, bro, we're doing this.
We're doing it.
We're talking. This is the second podcast since I've started back up.
Yeah.
You mad that I didn't have you on the first one?
No, I'm not mad. I would have picked Allie too. I'm serious.
Really?
Yeah, she's really well spoken.
She is. We had a lot of fun. That was the rough draft.
No, that was the real thing. We're going to post the rough draft now.
We're posting the rough draft
now. I live in the very small shadow of all my younger sisters.
Our sisters definitely take priority over us.
With who?
Our parents.
Oh.
And you know that's true.
I am not going on the record saying that because
except
I think
Mom. Mom loves me
this.
The most.
Mom does not.
Yes, she does.
She does not. She loves our dog and she loves Ella the most. Guarantee it. But she spends the most time with Noel because she goes to dance with him.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I think that's right. I think that's true. She definitely doesn't like Allie the most. Allie's up there, but she's not number one.
I hope Allie listens to this. Allie, I think Mom loves you.
You just flipped the script. I was the one that was praising my sister, and you were the one underplaying it.
But now I'm praising Mom.
Yeah.
And Allie.
Well, I just want to say a quick shout out to Dash, our dog. I'll praise you, buddy. You're never left behind in my mind. You are kind of smelly sometimes, but when you get shaved, you look like $1 million. This broadcast is
brought to you by sponsored by Dasher.
Dashinaki.
But hey, today we are talking about leadership. And I think I can speak for both of us when we say that we're not masters at this subject, but we do spend a lot of time talking about it, thinking about it. It's what keeps us.
Here's the thing. We've both spent over a decade in leading people because of like the church ventures we've been a part of. And even before that, finding our own footing in this stuff. So the truth is this, do we know everything? No. But at the same time, there might be a couple little nuggets in here that people can wean from and apply to their own lives that enhance theirs. Because everybody has something to add. You know what I mean?
That's the truth.
Yeah. Except us.
Except us. We are the worst.
We're definitely not masters at this. No, I'm just kidding.
But I don't think I've never really welcomed you. Like from like a stage or anything.
Yeah, you've never really been very welcome to me. Ever since we've been little kids.
No. It's like one of those things where it's like I got Noah Shinaki on the podcast today. He is a singer, songwriter. I can make up anything and people would believe it. And you would have to
test it out.
Test it out right now.
Yeah.
Today on the podcast, I have Noah Shinaki. Not only is he a fantastic brother to me, but he's a singer, songwriter. He's an author of 3 books, New York Best Time Selling. You might not know this about him, but in his free time, he likes to garden. And when he's not doing that, he is driving his Volkswagen Beetle down the coastline of Clearwater, Florida.
I'm a classy man.
You are a classy man.
I'm a classy man.
And now everybody believes that about you.
Yeah. So I want to say, after writing 3 books, I've decided to start writing a 4th book. And that book is solely about Colby Shinaki.
Dude, you don't have to do that.
No, I'm dead serious. And the adventures that you've been on in your long, eloquent life. I'm serious.
You don't have to do that, no.
I'm calling them the...
Do I get a percent of that?
Yeah, so... No, on the real, though, if you're watching this or listening... I guess they're not watching it, are they?
They're not watching this. They're listening to this.
On the real, if you're listening to this right now, my name is Noah Shinaki. I'm a Big Machine recording artist, and I'm also a songwriter, and I'm a big brother to 3 sisters, and I'm a huge brother to Colby Shinaki.
Wow.
Who just couldn't
have said that any better.
Really looks up to me. That guy.
I've gotten like...
And he makes me breakfast every morning. He does my laundry. Uh-huh. He says in my dreams.
I think one of the craziest ways I ever got walked. I was speaking at an event. It was Foundation Academy.
Yeah.
They just wanted to bring me in for their Wednesday chapel. Mm-hmm. And the way the guy introduced me, he's like, "This is Colby Shinaki. He helps lead Jaywalkers over in Claremont, Florida, and he's crazy."
And then you come out very casually
I'm like, what do I do with that? Where do I go with that? Do I have to come out with like foaming out of the mouth? Like, I'm the crazy guy.
So it's when me. I go out on stage to perform anywhere and people set me up like that,
yeah.
I do the same thing every time.
What?
I take a really big water bottle. Okay. I get a pen. You think I'm kidding right now. I'm not kidding. I take a pen.
Okay.
I poke the top, right?
Yeah.
And in the middle of the first chorus of my song, I run out to the audience and just spray them with water. And then they all think I'm nuts. For some reason, spraying people with water is the most absolutely nuts thing you can do at a concert. So people go nuts.
That sounds fun, though.
Oh, no. Missed.
Oh, no.
This guy's nuts.
He's crazy. No, it was just weird because it's like, it locks you in. Like, what if you didn't want to be crazy that day? What if today you wanted to be calm? Change it up on him.
I can see how that would be a dilemma, but I have to say to that dilemma, you're never really not crazy. You know what I mean? It's in there.
It is in there.
It's in there.
You just got to get it out. Anyway, so today we're talking about this topic of leadership, and we've been dealing with this for a long time through church services for the last 12 years. I think we got started really young, younger than most people.
We did.
You know, like I think both of us have a huge calling on our lives, and with like our dad and the family that we grew up in, I think we kind of forced ourselves to grow up faster than the average person. And so, but we've always had like a heart for leadership and leading people and going down that route. I kind of wanted to bring you in here and just kind of talk about just a few questions. And the first one is like, I would love to know what leadership means to you. Like, what does that look like to you?
Oh, frick. Well, how long is this podcast supposed to be?
20 minutes. Just kidding. However long.
Here we go. Well, here's the thing.
Talk slow.
Kind of starting somewhere. No, it's like, I could go on this for like an hour. Yeah. I'm serious. Like, I guess what makes this leadership podcast different, and if you're here to wean information from us or to maybe apply things to your own life, I want to make it very clear that the type of leadership that I'm used to is not the kind of leadership that is given, but the kind of leadership that's earned. And that's all based off of what, and honestly, Kobe could probably say the same about his leadership, because like we both were in a church growing up.
Yeah.
And in that church, like we didn't have the luxury of paying employees. We didn't have the luxury of a teacher putting us in charge of a team. We didn't have any luxuries. It was all based off of casting vision to people, getting them invested for themselves, and then serving bigger than they were.
100%.
And I think that that's what leadership is. At the end of the day, like the leadership that I believe in is vision and servanthood. That's it. If you have those two things, I feel like it's pretty unstoppable.
Yeah. No, it's funny because I think even with the church that we were in and the way that we grew up, like that's kind of how we kind of gained our ground too. I don't think we were given leadership other than like in Jaywalkers, but kind of. But like we really had like the church we were in was a bunch of old people. It was a bunch of people that like looked down on kids, looked down on everything that we were doing.
Until we showed up. And then there was hundreds of like young kids.
Yeah.
But that was all based off of like one by one, casting the vision of what Jaywalkers could become. And then taking them from the Starbucks to them checking it out. And then casting the vision of where we're going and getting them involved and giving them ownership and like, that's leadership to me.
Yeah, 100%. Just being hands-on with everybody. I wrote this down because I was looking it up a little bit, and John Maxwell, he's you know John Maxwell.
Yeah.
He's just a huge guy in the leadership thing. And I think he said it like probably the one of the coolest and simplest ways like possible. And he just said, the leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and then shows the way. But I also love this is that a leader isn't necessarily somebody who just shows the person the way. It's the person who lays the groundwork that succeeds and then encourages the other people to succeed along on that route as well. And then just praises them for that.
There's something to be said for leaders that delegate well. And then there's
true
some even better to be said for leaders that give other people leadership opportunities.
I think it's really cool.
You know what I mean? There's a difference between people who delegate and people who empower. And I feel like the true mark of a leader in any sense, whether it's like us looking for an editor,
mm-hmm.
And bringing someone on the team that posts like social posts with us, or it's somebody in a completely different realm, you know, with maybe a group project, and like there's people working around you and you've got to inspire them to work as hard as you are so that you get a good grade.
Yeah.
It's about giving, it's number one, understanding if they were born to be a leader, because there are just some people who are better when they're given a task.
True.
But giving them the authority and empowering them with the opportunity to like lead is the best is the best form of leadership, because it gives them ownership, which means that you now have given them something that they can sink their own teeth into.
Yeah.
They're no longer your little like worker, working bee. No, actually what you've just done in a way is in that one particular department, you flip the script. So now they're leading you and you're allowing them to do that. And there's a respect that you earn when you give that mantle of leadership in that particular area to that person.
Yeah.
And if they start to disrespect it, that's a totally different form of like, of that's kind of, that yeah, there's other things that come into play, but ultimately at the end of the day, it comes down to how well you're casting the vision and how well you're picking your team.
It's really true. It's whoever comes to my mind is Nick. You know, like Nick started, he's doing the editing for me. He's doing like YouTube and posting and stuff like that. And he's like, it started off as something where it's like, you're teaching him how to do it. You're giving him the vision for what you want it to be. And now like today at the gym, like I get a FaceTime call from Nick and he's like, bro, about to hit 80K on YouTube. This video is at 2 million.
That's crazy.
And he's like, he's super excited about it. So yeah. when you give some, it's different than when you just give them a task and when you give them ownership over like a specific thing.
Well, that's the thing is, it's servant leadership.
Yeah.
Like one thing I learned really early on doing stuff like just volunteer wise in the church is there's a lot of people that want to do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's not a lot of people that know how.
True.
And so when you empower them by sharing your vision with them, which the Bible even talks about how you share your vision with the people that you're meant to, and it's very important that you don't share your vision with everyone.
Yeah.
Lest it fall in the ears of somebody who absolutely just destroys you. You know what I mean?
True.
But when you do choose to share your vision with those key people and you bring them into your circle, it's becoming a servant alongside them that really earns their respect long term. And then it's stepping out and letting them lead. It's very funny because there's a difference between servant leadership and passive leadership. And I feel like to me, the difference.
You're on this whole thing because it's like they're so opposite.
Yeah.
Like those words, and you love opposites.
Dude, and that's where the fourth book in my series is going to come from.
Wow.
Thoughtful Recklessness.
I thought it was about me.
It is.
Okay.
As long as
I'm in it.
No, yeah, for sure.
I approve.
Yeah, 100%. I'll send you the checks in the mail. And that's another opposite, check in the mail. It's not in the mail. I guess that's the opposite.
That's a lie.
No, it's not.
That's what that is.
What is? Oh, yeah.
Anyway, keep going.
Anyway.
Servant leadership.
So the difference between servant leadership and passive leadership is so clear, though. I mean, as a leader, I guess the difference is with servant leadership, you really are stepping back and your job is to take on less as more people come alongside and take on the areas. Like the ultimate goal for a servant leader is to only do the things that you yourself have to do.
Yeah.
Anything that's delegatable, like the ultimate goal of a leader is to delegate those tasks. But
true.
To a person that cares about it like an owner would care about it. And how do you get
and
there?
And that's the secret.
This is probably the biggest thing we'll mention today. The way that you get there is developing good values in the very beginning.
You have to build them. You can't just find somebody like that.
No. You have to build them. And you have to understand, like, you have to share those values with them. If your values are excellence in your work, like, you have to make that a key pillar before you get going. And if you're already going, you have to go back and you really have to start on that pillar of excellence. You really have to start on that pillar of quality, or if your pillar is customer service, whatever it is, it has to start right there.
Yeah.
And there has to be a why to that value. You know, we provide excellence in this because it does this to our customers, or it does this to the people around us, or it impacts people in a positive way in this way. And that's why we produce excellence. And a lack of excellence produces this. And then continually reminding them becomes the main job of a leader. That's why they're called firefighters so often, is because you're going around putting out fires before they begin, you know, and just keeping people in alignment. But if you are a leader and you see someone you could delegate your tasks to, and your goal is to grow your team, and your goal is to empower people, the best I've ever heard it said, like how to know when it's time to just do the delegation and empower them what's his name? I'm forgetting his name now.
Craig Rochelle?
Yeah. Craig Rochelle said it best. If they can do it 50% as good as you, but they have momentum, like they seem like they're getting better every day at it,
yeah,
you give it to them. Until they prove that they're not the fit. And when they're not the fit, you have a real conversation. You say, hey, here's why we have to produce excellence. Because if we're not producing excellence, this is going to happen. This is going to slip. These are the results we'd see. And that's just not our brand. So you realign at that time if you have to. And it's a lot easier said than done. I understand that. But on the other end of it, it's much, much, much harder to deal with the results than it is
if it doesn't go dealt with.
Right. Than if it doesn't get dealt
with.
That's
so true. There was a when we did Jaywalkers like in person, we always said this one thing. I forget the exact way that we said it, but like it was that nobody's gonna work as hard as you.
Oh, everyone works. Yeah. Like the best you can hope is that if you're working at 100%, that they're gonna work at 90%.
Exactly.
Like nobody is gonna outwork the leader.
And then with that came the quote that says, if they are working harder than you, then they should be the leader, that they should be in charge, that they should be the speaker.
Well, and the thing is that leadership looks different to everybody. It's important that you have the respect of the people around you for that reason.
It's true.
Because like they may think that their task is like much more time intensive, but you may be doing something that's a lot more intellectually intensive or it could be a lot more.
It should struggle. It shouldn't be like a thing where it's like you delegate so that you can be entirely hands off.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's still your baby. It's still your thing. It's still the thing exactly. that you're leading.
100%.
But moving on, if you have an incredible work ethic,
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. You really do.
And I think that everybody in the house and everybody that like we come around could say the same thing. And like be like for that, I praise you for that. I look up to you for that. I'm I'm challenged by that. It's super cool.
Thanks, man.
And so the next question that I have is, where did you get your work ethic? Because I remember like there were days a long time ago where we would do nothing but play Guitar Hero and shoot airsoft guns.
The good old days.
Yeah. And then where did you get that work ethic? And what's the mindset that you have behind keeping that?
Dude. I mean, I could give you all these like philosophical things and like, but I feel like there's people that could do a better job of that than I do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'll just give you my honest answer if that's cool.
But first of all,
there's been a lot of areas that you've empowered me. Like the sign we're sitting next to in your studio right now, the mic drop. I would be lying if I didn't give you the due credit that you deserve for creating this show, because I can remember the conversation at the beginning of quarantine where you were like, dude, I don't want to be a waiter anymore.
Oh.
And we had an opportunity there, and you saw it, and you were like, I'm going to go live. And I was like, me too, for sure. What do you want to do, once a week? And you were like, no, every day. And I was like, every day?
Every day?
Every single day?
No, I remember, like, there was I think, 20 nights where it's just because COVID hit, I was out of a job, my car, like, a lot of people don't know the full story.
No, they don't.
Is that I was like...
I was longboarding over to Carrabba's to serve 2-3 miles
just to serve.
Yeah, because you need my car.
Yeah, and so, like, my car was completely broken, the transmission was out, I didn't have anything with that, IRS was coming after me.
Yep.
And then COVID was hit, and so, like, everything shut down, so there was nothing else to do, so I sat in that corner, and for, like, 20 nights, just, like...
Hustled.
Going live on myself with a little whiteboard, and then you jumped in. You're like, let's do this, and we started talking about girls and life, and we already did that anyway.
Yeah.
And so we just like we brought other people into the fold, and now it's like it's a family. And it's so cool.
But I'm sitting in a studio that was 100% your idea, and you're recording on stuff that you learned how to use.
You taught me how to use Logic.
You still have to apply yourself to it, and I think that's really the cool part. So okay, going back to what you were saying a second ago with work ethic. To be honest with you, I didn't always have it because as a young kid, you know, you really don't know what you like. And so I guess like the main goal that I'm going to try and give to my kids is just to let them try everything they possibly can to see what they like. Because I really want them to just pivot towards whatever they're doing. Because I've always believed this, like, I mean, obviously there's safer bets and there's worse bets. But if you love what you're doing and you have a gifting for it, those two things are pretty much unstoppable. As long as you don't let like the voices of other people crowd it out. You know what I mean?
True.
And like, if you're chasing what you're passionate about, not what you just have fun with, because I'm passionate about eating food, and that's not gonna serve me any purpose making money. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, if you're like passionate about photography, or passionate about coding, or passionate about video games, and you really hustle for it, you can turn that into a job. Now, I will say this to anybody who's thinking about doing that. Remember this. When you make it into a job, it becomes one.
I know that sounds crazy,
but like a lot of people will come and be like, oh, all you do is make stupid TikToks and like goof with your friends on YouTube. And no,
I'm
usually up
lot.
Until 3 a.m. every single night looking for more video ideas and being inspired and writing my own bits because I don't have a script writer or anything like that. And
it's true.
Usually I wake up the next day, go to the gym, come home and film all those bits so that we can put out 3 or 4 vlogs a week.
You know, do it again the next day.
Yeah, we never stop. And so after and like, and not only that, but we got the live shows. We do a ton of stuff. It's definitely a job.
Yeah, 100%. Trying to say.
And like that's with anything. But if you love it, then you love what you're doing. The thing about making work fun is that you also make your fun work. And a lot of people leave that part out. You know what I mean?
No, they don't. Nobody talks about it. They always say that there's that big saying. It's like chase your passions and the money will come. But also like when you chase your passions, they don't talk about all of that stuff that comes with it.
No,
it just makes like in your head, it makes the things that you're doing doable because you wanted to do them.
And so I'll say this to anybody who's excited about doing their own thing. It would be better to be the third top spot in an organized company that tells you when to come and when to go, like Facebook or whatever, than to be the number one spot in a nobody company because you're not built to be an entrepreneur. So that all comes from like your own introspective personal relationship with yourself. I mean, you just got to be real with yourself and just decide what you want. You know what I mean?
I get that.
Yeah, and you got to be able to try different things. You can't get stuck on one thing or another. But I hope that encourages somebody to either go for it or to look for a new opportunity that they're really passionate about, because that's my biggest thing. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, that's why I started Team Shinaki.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people don't know, but the deep underlying hope for Team Shinaki is that we take everything we're doing, bring a message to the world, and I get to empower hundreds, if not thousands of people, and employ hundreds, if not thousands of people to go out and spread music for a living. Because there's so many people out there that I know that are so passionate about music, but don't know how to find their own place, their own home in it. And so I've started this organization where people can get involved in not only music, but music with a good message that really impacts people's lives in a positive way.
Your music's great.
Like, thank you, man.
It really is. Like,
I appreciate
it. I don't say that because you're my brother and because I have to. Like I say that because like I love
you. You guys can't see it right now, but I'm actually holding a gun towards Kobe right now.
Don't tell them that. But no, like I really do like it. And like the stuff that like nobody's heard yet and stuff that's coming out, like I'm really excited for people to hear that.
Dude, 100%. There's so many cool things on the horizon. And like, I'm so excited to be doing it with like hundreds of people in Team Shinaki and to one day get to turn around and take those same people that were doing it because they love music and are passionate about music. And then to take those Team Shinaki members and ambassadors all over the world and make them full-time employees in a market that they actually enjoy, music.
So cool.
Connected to a family that's worldwide. Yeah. Knowing that they're having an impact on people around the world in a positive way.
And
leaving
them,
this world in a positive... Because I don't believe that there's any more... I know it sounds kind of foo-foo, but there are so many people... this is me going into a little bit of a rant.
No, you're good.
You know what's funny is I was like at church the other day and they were like, you know, so you could do so many good things like feed the homeless, right?
Yeah.
I started thinking about homeless because we've done a lot of work with homeless people ourselves, right? What if I proposed something different to you though?
All right.
You could live in a house and still be homeless.
Explain.
What if you could live in a house that does not feel like home?
I think a lot of people do.
That's the mission of Team Shinaki. To give a home to the homeless.
Wow.
And a lot of those people are housed. And it's crazy. Because there's a lot of people that don't feel like they belong. And that's why we're a family to the familyless. And the music is just the medium, the weapon that we use to connect to other people and to encourage them in their weakest moments. Because I don't believe there's a more powerful weapon than music.
It's true.
I mean, we've always said it, and I'll say it again, like a song can impact people in a way that nothing else can. You look at movies and they can change your perspective. They can make you cry, laugh in 2.5 hours, right?
Yeah.
But a song can do that in 2.5 minutes. There are still songs that I can't even get through. That's the power of music. And if we can use that as a weapon for good and then give people, like empower people in Team Shinaki to like go around the world spreading that music. And then as they prove that they're like good at what they do and spreading the music, because we have the statistics of their own cities and that growth.
Yeah.
We can like tangibly see that on the back end as an artist. As we see those cities growing, we're going to go, who the heck is this girl named Sandra in Norway who has over 45,000 people listening to the song in a month? Like, that's an actual statistic of somebody. Like, she's at the top of my list if I ever get the chance to employ people for this mission. And I think we will. Like, we're well on our way.
Oh, 100%.
You know, it's so cool.
This is just the beginning. And I hate saying that.
Dude.
I really do hate saying that because it's like, I think... Ever since we started Jayhawks and doing everything, it was like, we're at the beginning.
Here's what's so great about it, though, and this is why you shouldn't hate saying it, is because we have faith in God, this is the beginning.
This is the beginning. There's so much. And
we'll
so
be
much
85 years old saying this is just
this is the beginning.
We're just getting going. You know what I mean?
And it's true. I think a lot of the things that we're doing, and it's super cool to look at this, is just setting up like our kids who aren't even born yet, or setting up the next generation. I like that. That's my dream.
Yeah.
I would love to do something that far outlasts my life.
Me too, man. You know? And I would love to, like, I mean, obviously with one day, with especially with music, I would love to bring in other people. We're already in the works of that stuff.
Bro, just ask me right now.
Okay, Colby, will you be the second artist to come out of East Coast House?
You've heard me singing in my room, haven't you?
I have, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, man. And if you don't stop singing at 3 in the morning, I'm going to come up here and hit you with a broom. I'm just kidding.
Are you jealous?
A little bit. You got that Louis Capaldi, like, growl going
That's
on.
That's a little bit. I mean, yeah. Thank you so much, but I'm going to have to respectfully decline.
This is why I get my feelings hurt whenever I ask you that.
I'm already signed.
To who?
I can't tell. You, specifically.
So you're signed to me. Was there a comma there? Did you mean that? So I can't tell, and then comma, you?
Yes. Or was, there was a comma.
Wow, so you are signed to me.
Let's just leave it at that.
You heard it here first, folks.
Just shelf me. I don't. No, nobody wants to hear me. But okay, so going back to your work ethic. What's kind of like your what's your mindset behind like keeping that? Like, what is the thing that keeps you like? Because like, I know you've got a lot of things going on, and we've had multiple conversations where you're just overwhelmed and stressed, and you're done. But like, what's the thing that keeps you going? Just saying, because like, I got to get this stuff done. I have to do it.
To be honest with you, it's. Let me think about that. Like, it's bigger than an excitement for it. I actually think it's rooted in... This is going to probably offend some people, what I'm about to say.
All right.
But I actually think it's probably rooted in worry. Because time is so finite and so short. And I know even this season of my life is so short. I mean, like, I'm going to have a family in the next 10 years, probably. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hopefully I'm in the same boat.
Yeah. I'm trying my best to hook you up, by the way.
Thanks, bro.
I really think I got an idea
oh, yeah?
to fix that problem.
Okay.
Yeah, but you're gonna have to watch out on my social media for that.
we shall see. But I think I know what you're saying. I think I know where you're getting at. Like for my
Sounds
life.
Sounds horrible, right?
It does, but like for instance, like with my life and stuff like that.
Yeah.
With working and then leaving serving for 7 years to doing social media full time and then doing this. And it's like, I have a worry that I'll end up back there. Not because it's like,
bro,
not because like serving's That's bad so or real. Anything like that, but because like I was in a place where I felt like I couldn't get out. And I was like, I was trapped.
It's not about it being bad. It's about it not being for you.
Exactly. I felt like I was trapped in something. I was building somebody else's empire and not fulfilling the calling that God's put on my life. And I'm afraid of ending up back in that place.
Here's what's cool is there's people out there right now who are servers that are like going from table to table, spreading the gospel in their own way.
No, that's true.
And they were meant to do that in their season too. Just like you were meant to do that in your season. But now that season has become a fire that ignites you in the new seasons.
Exactly.
Because God has a plan to grow these people listening to this podcast, just like he had a plan to grow you and me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, like, I hate to say worry. Like, obviously, what I do is based on my hope in Christ and how I want to spend eternity with him.
True.
And how I want to give that to other people so that I'm not partying alone up there, right?
Obviously, yeah.
But at the rate I do it, work ethic, is based on my understanding of my finite life and how short that is. And I never really got scared of like, oh, what if I died tomorrow? I don't know why. For some reason, that just doesn't connect with me. Hopefully this podcast comes out.
It's like the whole you're not promised tomorrow type thing.
Yeah. Hopefully this podcast comes out tomorrow. And like there's not like an ironic thing that I just said that. You know what I mean?
That would be.
That's what, don't
no,
say
we're not, we're not going to speak
no,
that.
We're not going to speak that.
I do not claim that.
But I figured if I didn't say it, then it would happen. So I was, you know, sometimes you got to say it. So,
yeah.
But this is the thing. Like, why I work so fast is because I realize I only have this moment. And, like, I'm not promised forever. And I also know this. Like, I really want to experience this world and everything that God has for me in this world, particularly at the fullest extent that I can. Like, the human experience is not about being comfortable to me.
I don't think it is.
You know what I mean? The human experience is about vibrancy.
No, and I don't think, like, God's plan for us is supposed to be about comfortable either. In fact, if you look at the gospel and you look at the gospels and the whole Bible, I think a lot of the people would say that their life wasn't comfortable.
Yeah. And it's funny because I don't stress when there's a lot of when there's a lot of craziness going on. I don't stress when I walk in front of 15,000 people. I don't stress when we're traveling a ton. I stress when there's redundancy. Like, I start to stress out when I realize that there's a lot of redundancy in my life,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing I can do about growing that. Because the idea of being stuck in the same loop is terrifying to me. And it's so funny because humans are so innately wired to pursue redundancy and consistency.
Well, we're creatures of habit.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, like, doing something that's, like, constantly changing up your flow, your habit, and the things that you do on an everyday basis, like, obviously, there's things like making your bed and stuff like that that you don't really want to change. But, like, falling into the same structure of, like, working and doing the same thing a different day, it's like if giving yourself enough time without passion or without purpose, like, you'll end up falling into the same cycle.
Yeah. And the other worry I have is, like, I have a really hard time with myself when I'm not working because a lack of purpose in me creates depression.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I hate depression. Like, I can't stand it. When I have no vision, it's one of the worst things I've ever seen. Like, even like in this last recent couple of months, I actually just put out a YouTube video. You can go see it. It's called It's Over.
Yeah.
And that YouTube video was based around the idea that, like, I actually found a lack of vision with my music, and I found a lack of vision just with my content, and, like, because things behind the scenes, if I'm being honest, were coming to a weird predicament where, like, I didn't feel like anything I did would produce a result because everything seemed to be ungrowable for a moment. And when things have no vision, for me, they die.
I feel
that. I hate that. That's why I'm always doing something, because, like, I want to do some. I want my life to be so vibrant, so memorable. You know,
you say rare, like, whenever you talk about it, you say rare, you want your life to, like, full of rare experiences.
Yeah, man. And you don't get those doing normal things.
No, you don't.
You really don't. And you really don't know when they happen either. Like, last night was a. Like, and this is just to anybody out there that's, like looking for rare experiences that you can have without, like, breaking the bank. Because, like, obviously you could go spend $1 million on a hotel room and that'd be pretty rare, right?
Yeah.
But, like, there's other ones that don't cost anything. Like, my car, when I was a young kid, had a little sunroof, right? Sometimes, just to switch it up on the way home, I definitely am hypothetically saying this. And it was definitely on a property. So it wasn't, like, illegal or anything like that, right? But... like, I would stick my head out the sunroof. I know this is bad.
While you were driving. We called it tanking.
Yeah, we'd call it tanking.
Not that I was a part of it.
No, yeah. No, you definitely, you know? No, you weren't. You weren't. But, like, we'd, like, stick our heads out because it, like, it was just rare. You wouldn't see other people do that. And we had a lot of fun doing it.
We did.
You know what I mean? And, like, just different things like that. Going out in the middle of the night on the lake. Whatever it is.
Just doing what's things around that, like, you don't see a lot of people doing.
Exactly.
What is it? What is it? Craig Rochelle, he said, leaders do this. He says, what was it? He said, great leaders do consistently what normal people do occasionally.
Wow.
You know what I mean? He definitely said that. And, like, when you create a consistency and, like, getting things done, or consistency and getting, like, doing rare experiences and stuff like that, it becomes who you are. It becomes what you want to do. And so, like, I think that, like, in your work ethic and the thing that the way that you go about life and the way that you perceive that plays a huge role in, like, in that, because you crave that type of stuff, and you're doing, like, when I see it in your life, like, I see on an everyday basis that you're doing what normal people do occasionally, but you do it consistently. You're always doing something. You're always thinking ahead. You're always thinking about the next thing. And that is something that's admirable. And I look up to you for that. It's super cool.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. And so, like, the whole work ethic thing for me in my life, it's definitely, like, a new thing. You know,
bro, neither one of us were born with a heavy work ethic. So if you're out there right now and you don't have a heavy work ethic and you really don't know how to get one, you think some people are just born to work all the time.
Yeah.
It's not true. You get a taste for it and it becomes addictive.
Yeah.
Because it's not the work that's addictive. It's the results.
You get addicted to the results.
Exactly. You got to be really careful with that, because that can lead to depression, because you may put in amount of work in the beginning and it may yield a different result than that amount of work later in life. And if you're bent set on just finding your value in the results of your work,
yeah,
like, that is such a disaster of a life. You know what I mean?
I agree.
So it's so funny. You get into it for what you're going to get out of it, then you get what you get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you stop getting that at the same times because it comes in waves. You know what I mean?
It does.
All life kind of comes in waves and in cycles. And then you realize, oh, wait a minute. I can actually use these same talents that I was using for myself, but for a greater purpose.
True.
And a greater mission. And once you realize that it's not about you and what you can get out of it, like, you're unstoppable.
You are.
That's it. Nobody can touch you. You're not
for yourself.
Untouchable.
I love that.
Yeah.
We talk about untouchable all the time. We should have another podcast that talks about untouchable and living life untouchable, because I love that.
How to be untouchable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this whole work ethic thing, that's all, it's all new for me. I kind of grew up just being very passive, very unproductive, kind of lazy. And so like stepping into a route where I'm like constantly doing things on an everyday basis, I feel my old self. I feel like a lot of people feel like me when it comes to this, is that like when you want, because we're creatures of habit, like we just said. So when you want change and you want something to happen in your life and you start that change, you're constantly going to have that old you pulling back on you.
Yes, you
especially
are.
Especially with like new things that I'm adding into my life. And I know you got like a ton of things going on in your life, and you kind of mentioned one of those, which was Team Shinaki. But what other things do you kind of got going on, like other than Team Shinaki, like with music and with like what God's saying to you in your life and just all that type of stuff? Because I know you got a lot.
Well, with Team Shinaki, like teamshinaki.com is like the only place you can get it. And I'm building the first website right now. Like right now we have a working website. So I'm building a website. That's pretty new.
Yeah.
And kind of cool. And like,
it's really cool. He showed me it the other day. It looks good.
It's wild, man. So when it comes out fully, it's going to be really special because there's going to be a new category. Oh, that Frick. Y'all, you're the first person to hear that. There's going to be a new category that like you can sign up for where you get like encouragement and inspiration from me every single month. Which is going to be really cool because I love going deep and really connecting with people because y'all inspire me.
It's kind of what this whole mic drop thing was just exactly. Like started out as.
Exactly. So we got the live show at night where we get to know people. I just brought on my first full-time employee. Which is kind of wild to say.
She's super cool.
Yeah. Just empowering her with the opportunity to like grow in the things that she feels called to behind the camera is like the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And the fact that she's a family friend.
And she's growing. And
she's got a great relationship with my girlfriend and mm-hmm. also with God. Like, it's just perfect. It's awesome.
How's that going?
It's going great. It's going great. It took a second for me because I've been trying to figure out the way that I want to do it. And it took me really sitting down and logistically finding a way where she can feel empowered.
Yeah.
Like where as she works harder, she sees the fruit of that. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. it's important to me that we get to both high five when a video goes well.
It's cool that she believes in it.
Me too. I think so too. Like I've been thinking that for a while and I believe in her.
Yeah.
And that's what's really cool is like we get to connect in that way. And I've probably texted her more than most of my friends in the last 45 days or so because.
Well, what she's doing too is not only is she like learning that, but she's learning leadership. You know, like when she feels empowered and like she's taking it on as her own thing, like she does become like a leader in a sense.
And I don't know why I would ever hold this away from anybody because there's some that I got to keep just for myself. But the goal, and I've told her this, is that she doesn't stay stagnant either because in like just like with Team Shinaki, I want to grow her.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you know, I told her in 3 years, my guess is that she'll be higher up at a record label. And,
wow.
And that record label will probably be something that we work on together and like that she'll be the head of marketing and like, and dude, that's where I want to go because I want to think a lot bigger than me as an artist. I'm just the test pilot. But once we figure this out, we have the relationships established. Like I want to use the people that believe in the message at Team Shinaki to really spread this across the world, mm-hmm. not just with me, but with any artist that has a message like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we are an army that's going to change the world in a positive way. And we're going to bring people together because that's always been like the root of the whole thing. Everything that I do, including that, it's like I believe that music brings people together and people together become family.
Wow.
And family changes lives forever.
I agree with that. I think there's a lot of people that are looking for that.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking for a long time in my life.
Well, that's what we're giving them.
Yeah.
I'm giving people the opportunity to make their own job in the music industry. And it all starts with them joining Team Shinaki. It's pretty cool.
That's
I don't know how
cool.
It goes, but that's that. And then my relationship with God is like awesome right now. I do a lot of talking to him. But to be honest with you, I could always use a little bit more time in my word because as much as I know already just from being around church and stuff like that, the relationship mm-hmm. grows every single day. You never know enough. And it's so funny because even going into the Bible, like for just a couple minutes, like he has so many things to say to us and to me. And to whoever's listening to this too.
And he's constantly talking. He's
constantly ready to tell you something if you're listening.
Yeah.
So many times we talk about him and he's in the room.
It's so ridiculous. True.
It's like having Justin Bieber in the room and you and me sitting here on the couch talking about him and not even talking to him. And he's right there.
Yeah.
And he's ready to ask. He's ready for questions and everything. So it's like, that's what I want to get better at with my relationship with Christ.
I feel that. I'm the same way. I'm in the same book. So like, I feel like I've it's weird because I've done it to myself, but I feel like I've worked myself into this place where I know so much about the Bible and I know so much about God. But I don't ever like, I mean, I do, I'm like working on it and I'm doing it actively now, but like it takes time because like, he's so ready to talk to you and he's so ready to speak into your life and to speak to what you're going through and to speak to your situation. But like, he wants us to like make that move.
He does.
It's not about what you know. Yeah. It's really not. It's about relationship.
100%. Yeah.
So that's super cool. I'd say like for me with where I'm at right now and the things that I'm going through in my life, it's I'd say I'm in the same place with God, 100%. But kind of my focus has gone towards my calling and just like really growing that and like building that back up. I feel like I've had a calling to speak for a long time and a calling to preach the word and encourage people, but I feel like I've neglected that for way too long.
Yeah.
And so that's what kind of the whole reason for starting back up the podcast is, and getting back into speaking and taking more speaking opportunities and stuff like that, just growing that gifting. And so that's where a lot of my focus is going. The vlogs are coming back. I'm really excited about that. And we're going to be moving forward with that. But coming down to the end, I wanted to ask one more question. And I think it's, you actually said it at the very beginning, but what do you think the best two qualities of a leader are?
Well, you know what's funny is I said the two qualities that I thought of, and then I thought of a third one, and I didn't get to say it.
Oh yeah,
so I'm glad we came.
I think we're thinking of the same one.
Is it start with an E?
Yep.
Oh shoot! I feel like the best leaders are servants.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The best leaders have a vision,
mm-hmm.
and maybe most important, because you can have a vision and nobody wants to watch it, listen True. To it. You could be serving, but people walk all over you.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I think the best thing you can have as a leader when it comes to applying like skills and empowering other people is empathy.
100%.
If you don't have empathy, the whole thing falls apart. If you can't look at somebody and say, this is what they want, let me speak to that in them. Mm-hmm. Let me empower them in a way where I can help them achieve what they're trying to accomplish at the same time.
Yeah.
Craig Rochelle said it. I said it myself before I heard it from him. So if he said it, then I'm going to say it out loud because I didn't want to take the flack, but I've known this for a long time and I've said it in the house, not on a, like a podcast or a video or anything,
mm-hmm.
but everyone does everything for themselves.
For sure.
At the end of the day, y'all can hate me for that. Y'all can
it's
say
so true.
Whatever you want. But at the end of the day, you're focused on your plan, your calling with God. And honestly, that's kind of the biblical way to look at it, is God has a calling for your life. And it's important that you're serving people in the way you're called to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, you are doing that for your own calling. Even if you're not walking with Christ, even if you're not in a relationship with him, like, you still are doing things for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You start dating someone not for what you can add value to their life. You start dating someone because it adds value to your life.
So true.
Even when you're serving people and you have no relationship with Christ, you go and help others because it helps you. It feels good.
Yeah.
You know, I've never gone on a missions trip and gave more than I received.
So true. You know, I literally just said that on Jaywalkers tonight. Like, you cannot, like, you always learn more when you're giving.
And so if you can learn what people want,
yeah,
then you can empower them in the ways where they can achieve it. And you can even help them along the way.
I love that.
That was the whole goal of starting Team Shinaki and everything else we were doing.
Yeah.
Like, we get to know them through Mic Drop. Once I learned that tons of these people, not all of them, but the ones that really feel passionate about music, want to be in the music industry and don't know how. I even did a one-on-one Zoom for a Team Shinaki member the other night. And she said she wanted to be in the music industry. Her name was Alex. And she said she wanted to be in the music industry and she didn't know what to do or how to do it. And I was like, that's why I created Team Shinaki right there. Because I want to empower people. Empathetically speaking, like, I can see in her that she wants to be in the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that she wants to have a positive impact on the world. And now I want to give her the footing. I want to give her the music and I want to apply the tools and the encouragement that she needs in order for her to pursue that.
I love that.
You know what I mean? And that's what leaders do in their own departments. It's true. That's what they empower. Everybody does. Even you with Nick. I mean, like, you're sitting here saying, hey, Nick, I know you're in the Navy right now, but you're still going to edit this stuff with me because here's why. Because we're going to do this life together because Nick has never stopped calling us, even in the Navy.
He's still a part of this family.
That's why we reached out to him.
Yeah.
Right there is because we believe that he's still a part of this family. He still wants to be a part of this family and we want him to be.
So excited.
Giving him a role.
I love it. It's so cool. Yeah. So empathy on my, was like the on my top of my list.
Me too.
And then servanthood, but I wrote down humbleness.
Humility.
Like somebody who's just like who is willing to do what they're asking other people to do, who's willing to be the biggest servant, who like doesn't really care to be in the spotlight, who will actually want to praise other people. I always said that like a real leader takes more share of the heat than he does, but he also gives away more of the limelight than he should get. And I think that like, I just think that like a real leader is always looking for ways to praise the people who are underneath him. And a real leader is always there to be on the ground running with them.
Dude, you know? 100%.
So just like humility and knowing that. Also just know it, not making yourself like you're not the coolest guy in the room.
Yeah.
I feel like you're the coolest guy in the room when you don't think that you're that cool.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You're just kind of doing your thing.
Yeah, you're just doing your thing.
I agree with that. And I think that what you're saying about humility is so important. Like, if you haven't ever lived in a position you're asking someone else to do, they will never respect you.
They won't.
Or it's a good probability that they won't.
It's true.
And you probably can't be an effective leader if you don't know how.
You need to be
well-versed. Yeah, you know what I mean? How can you delegate a task you don't know the ins and out of?
Yeah, for sure. You know what I mean?
But to do that, you're a servant. And the thing about leaders is the second you delegate one task, there's always a new one.
There is.
You know, if you're a leader, you know that.
That's the truth. But dude, thanks so much for coming.
No problem,
this
man.
This is fun.
Super fun. I'm so excited about this next season. And like I heard you saying something a second ago that was so cool. You were like, dude, that's why I'm getting back into speaking. And that's why. And like hearing you say that's why I'm getting back into vlogs, like it's just fun to me because here we are on July 22nd, 2021. And you could get to play this back in 5 years from now and have accomplished the craziest, most rare experiences in that realm. And it all started with what you're doing here on this couch.
Just the start.
Yeah, man.
I think that's the best advice. Just like, if you're thinking about something, just do it. Just start it.
Yeah, you got to get in the game to get good. 100%. That's right.
But dude, thanks so much. Guys, if you want to get involved in the music business, if you're like looking for a way to get encouraged or to just become a part of a family, if you're looking for people, like go check out teamshenaki.com. Noah can tell you just all about that. Just go to his page, Instagram, everything you need to know. It's there. Super cool. Super proud of you, bro. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Dude, thanks so much for having me. We should definitely do another one on Untouchable sometimes.
100%.
Yo, if you liked this podcast, this isn't him asking me to do this. This is just me. Make sure you give this guy a good review. For real. Give him a good review and then leave some kind of like review that's like a comment that says that you would like us to do the Untouchable thing. Because I had a great time with you guys. Hope you guys had the same.